A young man loses his job and spirals into self-doubt. A marriage crumbles, and both partners blame themselves. A woman feels vaguely anxious about the future, but can't quite articulate why. We've all experienced moments like these, when life feels like a series of personal failures, private struggles we must shoulder alone. But what if the problems we think are ours aren't really ours at all? What if unemployment, divorce, and that nameless dread are less about individual shortcomings and more about the invisible architecture of society itself? This is the radical insight that transformed sociology and continues to reshape how we understand our lives today. It teaches us to see beyond the mirror of self-blame and recognize the larger forces quietly shaping our destinies. Think about unemployment for a moment. When one person can't find work in a city of 100,000, we naturally examine their resume, their interview skills, their choices. It feels personal. But when 15 million people are jobless in a nation of 50 million, something else is clearly at play. Economic structures, political decisions, forces far beyond any individual's control. The same logic applies to marriage. One couple's divorce is their story, but when divorce rates hit 250 per 1,000 marriages, we're witnessing a structural shift in how society organizes intimate life. This ability to zoom out from personal troubles and recognize public issues is what transforms how we see ourselves in the world. It's the difference between feeling like a failure and understanding you're navigating a rigged game. We inhabit immediate circles, family, workplace, neighborhood, yet massive historical currents constantly reshape these worlds. Industrialization, wars, and technological shifts transform individual lives. Who you become isn't just about choices, it's about when and where you live. Our era breeds unease without clear targets. Unlike the 1930s obvious economic collapse, today's anxieties remain vague and unformulated. We sense something's wrong in work, relationships, and politics, but lack language to transform private troubles into public conversation. We're told our problems are psychological, requiring therapy or self-help, when they're often fundamentally social, requiring collective action and structural change. Without connecting personal experience to historical forces, people remain trapped, unable to see how their struggles link to larger transformations. They experience what feels like personal inadequacy when they're actually responding rationally to irrational systems. The result? Isolated, individualized, endlessly self-blaming suffering. We've lost the capacity to see ourselves as participants in history rather than mere victims of circumstance. Social science promised to illuminate society like physics illuminated nature. Instead, much academic sociology became trapped between two extremes. Grand theory offers elaborate frameworks so abstract they float free of reality, burying simple ideas under jargon, turning straightforward observations into 555 pages that could fit in 150. Abstracted empiricism obsesses over methods while losing sight of meaningful questions, treating methodology as an end itself. Studies might reveal that newspaper readers vote more often, but won't explain how power actually operates or why political structures exist as they do. Here's the uncomfortable truth. No research is neutral. Every study makes moral and political choices. Deciding what counts as a problem is a value judgment about whose concerns matter. Defining adjustment as conforming to middle-class norms promotes a particular vision of the good life. Studying worker morale as cheerful obedience rather than questioning hierarchical workplace organization serves management interests over labor. American social science evolved from reform movements into a tool serving power. The Human Relations in Industry School exemplifies this shift, characterizing managers as intelligent or unintelligent, while describing workers as happy or unhappy, as though they occupy fundamentally different categories of being. Modern applied social science works for specific clients: corporations, military, government agencies. Researchers study how to make workers more productive, soldiers more obedient, consumers more compliant. This bureaucratic worldview treats society as something to manage rather than understand, reducing citizens to objects of administrative technique. A disturbing paradox emerges. Modern society grows more rational while individuals become less free. Bureaucratic organizations expand rational systems while diminishing personal reason. People perform specialized functions without understanding their purpose, becoming technically proficient but intellectually limited. Unable to identify clear targets for resistance, people adapt and compartmentalize, both work and leisure increasingly rationalized. The greatest social scientists never followed rigid formulas. They developed flexible approaches tailored to specific questions. Method and theory emerged organically from their work, not from predetermined frameworks. The challenge lies in balancing ideas with evidence, occupying the middle ground between abstraction and observation. Understanding human variety requires viewpoints simple enough to grasp, yet comprehensive enough to capture reality's full range. This means studying history as essential material, not background decoration. Every society must be understood within its specific historical period. Individual biographies cannot be comprehended without reference to the historical structures organizing everyday life. Nation-states function as man-making units where people are formed, liberated, and repressed, which is why cultural and political struggles are so intimately connected. The best social science is always historical, always comparative, always attentive to how large-scale forces shape intimate experience. It refuses to separate individual psychology from social structure, personal biography from historical epic. Bureaucratic rationality demands self-rationalization, regulating impulses to serve organizational needs. This creates rationality without reason, destroying freedom. The central question, will humans become cheerful robots, willingly accepting diminished existence? True freedom isn't choosing between predetermined options, it's formulating choices, debating them, then deciding. The ultimate problem is that not everyone naturally desires freedom or can develop the reason it requires. We face a world where human minds deteriorate while technology accumulates, a realm of alienation and rationality without reason. In masses, people have troubles they can't translate into social issues. In publics, people confront issues and grasp their dimensions. Democratic society requires free, rational individuals and genuine publics rather than passive masses. The task? Transform vague uneasiness into explicit concerns, private pain into collective action. This requires connecting biography with history, seeing how personal experience intersects with structural forces beyond individual control. Social science practices the politics of truth by translating personal troubles into public issues, helping you see how private struggles connect to social structures. When you lose a job, ask what economic policies created this situation. When relationships feel hollow, consider what cultural pressures shape intimacy. When anxiety grips you, examine what structural conditions produce widespread unease. You are free to make history, but that freedom requires access to decision-making power and genuine publics where ideas are debated. This means seeing yourself not as isolated, but as a participant in history, someone whose biography intersects with larger social forces. In a world that relentlessly privatizes every problem, turning systemic failures into personal responsibilities, the ability to see beyond yourself becomes an act of resistance. Your troubles aren't just yours. Recognizing that is the first step toward changing them. Connecting private experience to public structures transforms what becomes possible, turning passive suffering into active engagement, individual despair into collective hope.